Welcome to What in God's Name, the show that takes on contemporary issues through a theological and philosophical lens.
She's Shana Appel.
And he's Chris Owen.
For our show today, we have the second half of the live show we recorded and co-created with a group of 20 people in New Hampshire on February the 23rd. Our topic is toxic masculinity, and it's a fascinating topic. It touches on so many different elements of our culture and what's going on in the news and in the world. We've already done a show on this, but this is a way for us to deepen the conversation.
Absolutely, and a big shout out to the New Hampshire Conference of the United Church of Christ for letting us crash their Prepare to Serve series of workshops, and to all those who chose to attend ours. We give you all many thanks, and I think as you guys listen to the conversation that follows, you'll see why.
Shana and I sometimes will chime in on certain interviews. We chime in and add some perspective and context. And as we listened to this material, we thought, no.
It stands on its own.
It really stands on its own. Some very, very thoughtful and insightful comments. So again, I just can't say enough how beautiful it was and how grateful I am that we could co-create this show. So Shana, we pick up the conversation midstream. I ask a question about healthy masculinity. Joyce from Dunbarton gives a response, and on we go. So I'm curious to ask our co-creators, what is healthy masculinity? Does anyone want to take a stab at that? And can our scriptures, can our theology, can our understanding of who God is give us a picture of healthy masculinity?
I'm Joyce Ray from First Congregational Church of Dunbarton, United Church of Christ. I think in Scripture, to Chris's question, we could find some answers about the other side of male toxicity. When we hear the image of God, who has been for centuries perceived as male, but when we see the image of God as a mother nurturing under her wings, that sort of brings to my mind that's the nurturing part of men that we love to see, and we do see in many, many men.
Joyce, that just captured, you gave me a lot to think about. So one of the things I was thinking about, and this again goes back to my notion that what is toxic is that which exists without freedom. So I am a cisgendered female. My pronouns are she, hers, which some people find surprising because of how I present. But how I present is a part of my choice about how I want to, like, I am a woman. I am glad to be a woman. I don't want to be a man. That's not, you know, the short haircut, the clothing. That's not what that's about. It's that I want freedom to present as a female the way that is authentic to me, the way that makes me feel whole and complete, usually right up until the point where I walk into a public women's restroom. But so sometimes I think, you know, the toxic femininity is sort of expectations about what women are, how women should present, what women should wear. We look, for example, at things like, you know, strong women, women who stand to, you know, in the corporate arena, in the legal arena, right? You know, a strong woman is labeled as a bitch most often in our culture, whereas, you know, a strong man is a great and powerful leader. So there are those elements of, you know, and I think for each of us to think within our own how we self-define and to see where for ourselves, where are the limits for ourselves, because in all probability we'll impose those limits on others intentionally or otherwise. David.
So my name is David. I'm the pastor of the South Newbury Union Church. I want to follow up on the idea of positive images of masculinity by suggesting that I'm just reflecting on scriptural stories of men, and I can't find a non-ambiguous presentation of a male hero in scripture. So it is sort of like, don't behave like them. Abraham, well, don't use your wife as a pawn to protect you in a foreign country. Isaac, have a brain, man, and look at the gifts of your sons and realize that one of them is actually more capable of leading than the other. Jacob, you don't need four wives, you know, you can straighten this, and you don't need to have such favoritism of your sons that it causes conflict within your family. David, please don't be an adulterer. Solomon, you don't need 300 wives. Could we go on? So it seems to me as if the male image that is presented in oftentimes in Scripture is an image that's trying to get us to not be like those guys. Okay, so there's almost like we should have the button that says, don't be like those guys, you know? That there's almost a sense in which Scripture is pointing us in a more holistic, temperate, thoughtful, sensitive, ethically grounded direction than the male models of Scripture.
That makes me think of, and Joyce's comments, I think you mentioned power early on in your comments. And so when I think of Scripture, especially the New Testament, theologies of power, I think that's helpful. But I'm just going to send that out there to you all.
Chris is going to do what he does. He's going to be provocative and inflammatory. This is why we love him.
So power in the New Testament, I think it's not directly related to masculinity, femininity, but I think it can illuminate a lot in our time. So anybody want to do a little theology of power?
I'm Maureen, the senior pastor in Amherst Congregational Church. And I agree with you, Chris, and I think it does relate directly to what we're talking about here as far as toxic masculinity and power. And it alludes back to what Shana said earlier in her introduction about the example of Jesus over the example of Scripture that we have. Jesus was one who treated women as equals in many instances we have in the New Testament. The woman at the well, who was likely there at noon because she couldn't come earlier with the other women because she was being shunned because of all her husbands. The Syrophoenician woman who challenged Jesus about the crumbs under the table being there for the children. My take on that text is that Jesus was very playfully playing with her and lifting up the thought that the people under the table shouldn't have what the children should have. And he was putting a twist on that. But there are many other instances with the woman who was caught in adultery, the hemorrhaging woman who was on the edge of the crowd and was reaching towards Jesus. In all of these instances, he never said, woman, keep your place. Don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Know who you are. Know who I am. He was all about lifting the powerless up. And I fully believe that he got that from his mother, Mary. She sang that Magnificat when he was still in her womb, talking about lifting the lowly up and bringing the powerful down. And she didn't make that up. That's straight from Isaiah. So he is living into his mother's tradition. He's living into his faith. And he's not necessarily being a radical about it because this is his faith. He's just reminding people of who they are and who they should be. So when we're talking about toxic masculinity, men and women should look to Jesus as an example. What is he doing with the powerless to teach them how they should be doing with the powerless as well?
We're going to have you guys over for every show.
Shana just said we're going to have these folks over for every show, and I concur. The story that comes to mind for me is when they come to arrest Jesus and Peter pulls out the sword and Jesus says, put that thing away. Put the sword away. We're not doing it that way. So American male culture would be somebody's in your face, you get in their face. In my experience as a male, there are places where I need to be aggressive. I do it all the time on the basketball court.
Here's a news flash, Chris.
Yeah.
In my world as a woman, there are places where I need to get aggressive too.
Yeah. And I bet it might express itself in different ways.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I've spent a lot of time, I grew up with men. I was the only woman on the fire department when I served for, and then when they brought on another woman, they put her on another group. So I've just spent a lot of time with men. I've spent enough time with men to know. Like, I can mansplain as good as just about any man I know.
Don't men tend to be more physical with their expressions of aggression? I'm curious. That's just a curiosity.
I'm Gail. I'm the minister at Jackson Community Church in Jackson, New Hampshire. And I wanted to add the thought that every single person in this room is actually white. And so another piece that we also need to be aware of is that we're talking about our understanding of a masculine culture and a feminine culture from inside one context only. And so, for instance, I have a daughter whose boyfriend is from Nepal, and she is now living in a part of Manhattan that's quite diverse. And navigating differences in culture from New England down to another part of the coast, from the rural context to the urban context, from a sense of your racial identity, from your gender identity, walking down a public street, going into a store to order something, to have any kind of interaction becomes very loaded when you start to put these different kinds of identities in place and then you cross different kinds of boundaries. So even to say that we know what it means to be aggressive or deferential or healthy as a woman, as a man, inside a culture changes and shifts. So just to be aware and sensitive to that part of it, because we're still only talking from one context.
Yeah, Gail, thank you so much for bringing that up. It's spot on. And I always have to remember that this is a podcast, so people can't see us. So that would be obvious if people could see us, but they can't. So
we need to take a quick break for this word as What in God's Name begins a funding campaign. Shayna, you know what? We've been live now for 4 months.
Oh my God, it's hard to believe it.
That's 15 shows, and it's a good moment to invite our listeners to a deeper level of support and engagement. So for a limited time, now through Easter, we are asking for your financial support. Money is a form of power in the world, and we're asking you to join your power with ours so that together we can be a force for good in the world. When you support What in God's Name, Shayna, you are supporting our core values, which are curiosity, depth, and
shining the light.
Shining the light. When you support What in God's Name, you are supporting a much needed public philosophical and theological perspective on current events and culture.
Friends, here's how to make a donation. Go to our website at www.whatingods.com. WHATINGODS.com. Don't go to What in God's Name, because you'll come up with a bunch of cheesy videos and YouTubes. WhatInGods.com will take you to our website. Once you're there, you can link in to give either through Patreon. And if you need a tax deduction, link in through Filmmakers Collaborative. They're our fiscal sponsor. Let's make a difference for our culture, friends, and we thank you in advance for your support.
Thank you in advance for your generosity. And now back to our show.
Hi, I'm Christine. I'm from the Second Congregational Church in Ossipee, New Hampshire. And I've been sitting here thinking and thinking and thinking as everybody's been talking. And for 33 years, I've been a bookkeeper for a little construction company that's all men. So I've worked with a lot of toxic men, and I've worked with a lot of wonderful men over the years. So I'm thinking, how did I deal with all that? Well, I did it because I, from my roots, from my parents, because I grew up in a very, I've been to the Second Congregational Church all my life, and I just treat people the way I want to be treated. And from that, I earned respect. And I did my job, and I did it well. And I can honestly say that probably 99% of those men that I've encountered have always become my friends.
Christine, let me ask you a follow-up question, if I might. You said you worked with, you know, toxic men and men that were wonderful. What helped you to distinguish one from the other? Were there particular characteristics that jumped out?
Oh, yes. Side? I mean, attitudes, believe me. I've had ones that, and I won't use the F word here, but anyway, said, well, she's working in a man's world. She just has to get used to that word. And it's like, no, I don't. So every time they would say it, I'd say, what's that you said? It would drive them nuts, and they'd stop after a while. And it, I think I earned respect by just repeating that, you know, I wasn't going to take that. I didn't have to listen to that just because I was working in a man's world. So they thought. But it was real easy to pick them out, believe me. I mean, the attitudes go a long ways. And a lot of the fellas were just, they just treated me right from the beginning like I was just another good human being, just like they were. And we all wanted to work together.
Even just that notion of she's working in a man's world, you know, is so, I mean, today I just hear that is so striking. We've all heard it 1,000 times before, but you know, this shop may be very male-dominated, but the world certainly isn't.
And I just took it for what it was. I always say you should go by example. Not, you know, words are cheap. Doing things mean a lot. So I'll just show by example that you can do your job and treat people good.
We've had a wonderful conversation, in my opinion.
I will second that opinion.
So thank you all so, so much. This has been a great pleasure for Shana and me, if I may speak for you.
You
in
may.
That moment.
Chris is going to go home and edit, if I may speak for you.
You may.
And Chris, when are we posting this show?
This show will come up either the 21st or the 28th of March. And I might have enough material to make it two shows. We intentionally keep these shows to 25 minutes, March 21st and or the 28th. So, Shana, be curious.
Chris, go deep.
You bet. And what else do we do?
Let's shine the light.
Shine the light. Go to our website at whatingods.com. That's WHATINGODS. We also have a Facebook page where you can leave your comments. Just in the search bar, you can type What in God's Name. And there's our Facebook page right in front of you.
And we'd love to hear from you.
Shana, great to be with you today.
Great to be with you, Chris. Great to be with all of you, friends. Thank you for checking out the New Hampshire Conference's Prepared to Serve. And we'll see you next week.
See you next time.